Many of them need to be in church, and through your providence, they're able to listen. Some of them have never been saved. And Lord, we pray that you'll deal with each heart according as you see fit, and that you'll bear witness to the simplicity of the gospel. And may the unsaved hear something that'll prick their heart, their conscience, reveal to them their need, their urgency. They'll realize they're lost and undone without thee, without Jesus Christ, and that they're headed for hell and they need to be delivered. And God, I pray that you'll point them in the direction of Calvary and the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Father, we want to thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin this morning. And as your children, we would plead that blood and ask you to cleanse us and help us to be clean in your sight. And may we be acceptable for worship this morning. God, I pray that all the distractions of the world and of the flesh, all the things that the devil would do to send in division, all the works of the enemy and the tares that it would be sown, and the things that he would do to get people's mind off of the Word of God and off of reproof and rebuke, exhortation, the things that he would do to cause people to get their minds and eyes off of Calvary. God, I pray that you'd rebuke him and you'd hedge us about, Lord, with your protection. And God, may we hear and learn something today that's going to help us in every aspect of our life in serving you and pleasing you. God, we thank you for our country and for your mercy upon this nation to this date and time. We pray, God, you'll continue to have mercy upon America. Lord, we pray that for our family's sake and for our own sake. We're very fearful, Lord, about these times that we're in and the direction our country has taken and many directions. Lord, many decisions has been made that aren't according to your word and aren't even in par with our nation's heritage and our history. And Lord, we're very, very troubled about the situation at hand. But God, we know, Lord, that you're still God and our home is in heaven. And we're citizens of that heavenly country. It's better. And we're looking forward to that. And we pray, Lord, that while we're here, God, that, Lord, if you would, you'd continue to bless us with freedom, be able to operate in the realm of propagating the gospel and being a witness. Hell, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to be faithful with each opportunity that we're given. And, Lord God, we pray for our leaders in this country. Lord, we ask you to deal with them. Lord, bring about conviction of sin and guide their conscience, Lord. Deal with them, Lord, and rebuke the proud and stop the arrogance. And Father, we pray that you'll bear witness, Lord, to the truth, Lord, of your people that live in this country. God, we pray that you'll do something, Lord, in these last days. God, help us as a local church have our eyes on thee. And we ask you to turn our hearts. God, help us to be of a different breed. Help us, Lord, to be serious about your will and about your word. And, Lord, about serving you and walking after you and being consecrated and godly, dedicated. Lord, I pray that you'll bless our young people in this church. Lord, you'll put your hand upon their heart, turn their heart, turn their eyes toward you. God, you can do that. And, Lord, we pray that you would. Father, I pray that you'll save the lost in this community and help us, Lord, in all our efforts, God, through getting out, knocking on doors, and passing out tracts, and the jail ministry and the street ministry, all, Lord, the radio broadcast, the TV broadcast, Lord, you know. And we pray, God, that you'll bless it all for your glory, for your honor. God, we want to thank you for all Bible-believing churches in this land. We ask you to meet with them. For every missionary that you've called and sent out and that you're preparing to go to the field, we ask you to bless them, and we ask you to send forth more laborers into the harvest. And Lord God, we pray for each Sunday school teacher here at our church that you'll give them utterance this morning, give them patience. God, work with them. And Lord, bless these young people. God, to retain what they're hearing from the word. And God, may it be a guide and a direction for their life. God, we want to thank you again for this book that's perfect, without error. Help us, Lord God, to look to it as it is in truth, the word of God. And Lord, help us to adjust ourselves by it. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, kids, you can head on out. The rest of us, we'll stay up here and listen to Brother Jack.
Thank you, Nathan. All right, if you have your Bible this morning, turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We are down to verse 10. 1 Peter 2, verse Peter chapter 2, in verse 10. And as he's going through here, Peter's beginning to talk to you about being saved and what comes with being saved and what God considers you. And we talked about a spiritual house. We talked about a holy priesthood. We've talked about lively stones. And as he goes down here and talks to us and tells us everything that we've gotten because we're saved and the things that we get and what God looks at us and where we came from. And anytime somebody's ever talking to you about the blessings you got or they're building you up, you always need to be ready because they're going to come right behind that and then tell you something that's hard to do. You know, I mean, that's just the way it goes. You know, you take coaches talking to kids, you know, you've got this opportunity and you've got this and you've got that. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to block four people, you know, and they get you built up to do something. And I don't know if Peter did that, but it sure looks that way. I mean, all the stuff he told you before wasn't a lie. It's the truth. But as you get down here in verse 10, this is what he says. He says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. And that's a blessing. That's a promise right there. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And when he says there in verse 10, basically all he's telling you or reminding you of is the fact of where you were, what you was, where you came from, and where you were headed, and now what you have. And, you know, what's funny is you can sit here, and I can sit here this morning, and I can say, it's a blessing to be saved this morning. And everybody will say, yeah, amen, it's a blessing to be saved. Amen, brother, yes, say amen, it's a blessing to be saved. We're not excited about that a lot of times, but it's the truth. We are. It is a good thing to be saved this morning. We're blessed to live in America today. We're blessed to live in Scott County, Tennessee today. We're blessed with the opportunity to have a building like this right here this morning. We're blessed with our family, with the health that we have, with the family that we've got. There's a lot of things in this world that we're blessed to have. And it should make us to have a good attitude. It should make us to have to be excited about the things of God, be thankful of the things of God. But you know how things are. You know how we are. The more that we get, the more we want, the more our flesh gets, the less we're satisfied. And that's just the way it works. And this morning here in verse 10, what Peter's telling you is he's giving you and he's reminding you of something. And when he reminds you of this, in verse 11, here's what he says. He says, dearly beloved, I beseech you, and what this means there is, I beg you, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. And he talked about that on up there in the chapter there, talking about what you were. And what he's saying is, because of what you are, because of who you are, and because of how things are now and the way you used to be, now that you're a Christian, basically is what he's saying, you're a stranger, you're a pilgrim in this world. He says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. And then he says, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Now, here's what he's saying. These fleshly lusts, he says, they war against the soul. Now, if you look at somebody, we'll look at it physically talking. You know, my mom, she struggled with smoking her whole life. And she, back in the early 90s, she ended up with breast cancer. And then she quit smoking. She quit smoking for a while, but then she picked smoking back up. And eventually that's what got a hold of her. She got cancer and she passed away. And physically speaking, you look at somebody that my mom said that when she was probably 9 or 10 years old, she started smoking. And her grandpa would smoke, and he'd give her cigarettes. I mean, that was back in the 30s and 40s. And you know, I don't think they realized the dangers of it like they do now. But anyway, she started smoking then. And, you know, she grew up through her teenage years. Nothing looked like there was anything wrong with her. She grew up through her 20s and 30s there, you know, and it wasn't until she got on up in the years when you started seeing something like that happen. And physically what begins to happen is that cigarette that you're smoking and that smoke that's inside of you, the longer it stays in you, it wars against your body. It begins to break your body down. It begins to basically put you to death. And what he's saying here in verse 11 is, he says you need to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. And your soul, it has an enemy. And this flesh that you have on you is what wars against it. And it constantly tries to bring you down. It's constantly trying to get you to please the flesh. It's constantly trying to get you away from the Spirit of God. And the reason is when you do that, obviously you're not going to please God for one. Number two, you're not going to glorify God in your body. You're not going to get along with people. You're going to cause dissension and cause problems. And so what the devil wants to do is use your flesh against you and your soul there. It automatically is in a fight. Now this fight that your soul's in the middle of, this battle that goes on is in your mind. And this battle goes on in your mind, and what you have to do to fight this battle is you have to make sure that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's going to help you to do right. Now, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be filled with a whole lot of things. You can be filled with indignation. You can be filled with envy. You can be filled with covetousness. You can be filled with all sorts of things. But the fact is this right here, you're not going to be empty. You're going to be filled with something. And God commands you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that, because these fleshly lusts are warring against your soul. And your mind is it's an incredible thing. Your mind can get you mad at somebody. It can get you aggravated at somebody when you don't even know what's going on. They don't even know what's going on. Just because your train of thought or your mind gets put down a different different avenue. I'll give you an example. We were driving to toward Oak Ridge yesterday. And my wife, she's got allergies real bad. And the mascara that she uses, eventually it begins to make her eyes swell and makes her eyes itch real bad and stuff like that. And, I mean, it's been going on for years. And she would say, what she would always tell me is, she said, my mascara is starting to make my eyes itch, and I'm starting to feel this again. It's getting ready to start. She said, I need to get me a new one. And when she used to say that, in my mind, here's what I'm thinking. A different brand, because it's the kind, whatever kind this is beginning to start messing her up. And so for years, I'm thinking she's getting a new brand of mascara. And after all these years, I'm thinking, man, how many different brands of mascara can there be? You know, I'm thinking, how many different ways can you make this stuff? And it's just in my mind. I'm just a guy, you know. I'm just thinking. And whatever, you know, I don't want her eyes to itch or nothing. And whatever you got to do. Well, what she meant was, is that as she uses that bottle and she puts it on her eyes and puts that bottle, puts it back inside there, somehow it's messing up what's left. And about halfway through that bottle, she just needs to throw it away. It's not any good anymore. She needs to get a new applicator and a new bottle, and she can only use about half of it just because of the use of it begins. And so what she meant was she's just getting a new kind, a new bottle of the same brand. And I didn't know that. So for years, I'm thinking everything that she says about this, I'm channeling through this. And what she's saying is she's channeling it through what she actually means. And so we're sitting there yesterday, and I say, well, I said, have you ever went back to another brand that you used before and it worked? And she looks at me and she explains to me. She starts trying to explain to me what's going on. And when she gets done, I said, that's not the question I ask you. I said, it's a yes or no question. And she's like, just looking at me, like with this blank look. And I'm thinking, well, that's just Beth, you know, just... She just got that blank look. I'm thinking, now see here. Well, listen, honey, listen. Here's my question. So I go through this big spiel to explain it to her. She's not answering my question. She says, Jack, I don't even know what you're talking about. I said, well, look, if you had A, B, C, D, E brands of mascara, you got to E and you're using this one. I said, have you ever went back to brand A? So I go through, and she's looking at me like, what are you talking about? And finally, I get this thing figured out, what she's talking about. But the point I'm making is your mind can get channeled through a certain thought, or you can think somebody thought something, or they said something, and you think, well, I know what they meant. And everything from that point on, what they say, you channel it through this right here. Oh, they're just shooting at me. Or they're just trying to get a hold of me. Or they're just, and the point I'm making is that these things here about the flesh, about lust in this flesh, that lust. You know what it does? It wars in your mind. That's where the battle's at. It's in your mind. It's not anywhere else. And when Brother Dewar talks about putting on the whole armor of God, and that's the things that's going to help you, because what the devil knows is this right here. It is hard for us as the people of God. It's hard for us to think, this is the battle. I got to get up this morning. I got to win this battle over my mind, because that's what's going to happen. Now, what Peter says here, because you're a Christian, because you're strangers and pilgrims, he says, this is what I want you to do. He says, I'm begging you. He says, I'm begging you, abstain. Amen. That means stay away from fleshly lust. Stay away from them. He says, I beg you, please, if you don't do anything else. He ain't saying, you know, he says, I'm not telling you, see what you can do for God. He says, I'm not telling you to start a mega church. Here's what I want you to do as a Christian. Please, I beg you, abstain from fleshly lusts. Why would he be so adamant about something like that? He says, because they war against your soul. And they do it through your mind. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 here, in verse 11, and he's sitting here going through these verses here telling you, this is what a Christian is, this is what a Christian does, and because of these blessings that you have, and because that you're a Christian, he says, please, please, abstain from fleshly lusts. And it's not just because he wants you to look good. It's not just because, you know, he wants everything to work out right in your life and that you can be like Joel Osteen, you know, and have all these great things going on in your life. He said, because you're a Christian, and if you'll abstain from fleshly lust, you're going to win this war that's going on against your soul. Now, a few months ago, I began to realize in my life, and probably even longer back than that, there became a downward spiral as far as my spirit goes, as far as being excited about the ministry, being excited about the things of God. And I couldn't pinpoint what was going on. And like I was saying a while ago about us saying, we can say, praise the Lord, we're glad to be saved. But the fact is you can realize as you go through life, you begin to look around and you see things and you know some things. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you see them and regardless of what anybody says, we experience things. And as you're going through the ministry, you know, you're excited. You want things to happen. You want this thing to go on. You want that thing to go on. You know, you want this ministry to work. You want God to bless this ministry. You want people to show up. You want people to be excited. You want people to be helpful and supportive and to help you and to get things done and get things accomplished because you have the right attitude. You want things of God, you want them to be done and you want God to be glorified. But as you go through there, you begin to get down on yourself and you get frustrated with yourself and then you begin to say, you know what, I'm sick of this and I'm getting bitter. I don't know why I'm getting bitter for. I'm getting aggravated at people. I don't even understand what I'm getting aggravated for. You look around, you think, boy, I want the children, you know, I want the children of God, the young people, boy, I want them to be on fire for God. And you look around and they're not on fire for God. And you think, well, you know, God could change these people. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking, these kids ain't going to change. You know, I've been looking at this thing, and this ain't going to happen. And you begin to get frustrated, and you begin to look at the negative side of everything. And then you begin to think, okay, what do I need to do? How can I fix this? Well, we need to get excited about it. We need to get the kids excited. We need to do this. And you find out that you're more excited about trying to get them right with God than they are about being right with God. And you get frustrated. You think, golly, what's going on? And at the end of it, as you sit here and you've tried to do all these different things, you know what you realize? You realize, boy, I can't do this. And God's like, yeah. You know, it's like one of those things your kids say, duh. You know, yeah, I can't do this. Well, of course you can't do this. And what you realize is going through things like that, God begins to deal with you. And as he begins to deal with you, he begins to deal with you about things that you need. And the one thing that a Christian's got to have is he's got to have a walk with God. You've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because let me tell you something. As I preached Wednesday night, and I think I preached over there, Brother David Jeffers is talking about this, about being filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot be happy and content as a Christian if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to know how you feel and what you think about life and what you think about God and what you think about church, whether you're too afraid to say it or not. You know what you think. Instead of looking at people and thinking, boy, I'd like to see that guy get saved right there, your attitude is, that guy ain't never going to get saved. Look at him. He ain't never going to do nothing for God. That's the attitude, but we think, well, we're not supposed to say that. So we act like this is what we're saying. And when we get to where we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, what happens is we get this bitter attitude, this hateful attitude, and it affects us. Now, we cannot be a happy and content Christian unless we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We get this bitter attitude, we get all this stuff, and what our heart and our desire and our flesh wants to do is to head far country. Now, there may be something keeping us from doing it. It may be the fact that we know somebody that did it and we think, boy, I can't do that. I'm afraid to do that. This may be what happens. I can't just quit church and take off. So we sit in church and we're backslid and we're not filled with the Holy Spirit and we're bitter and we're angry. And you know what happens? We're not content. We're not happy. And what we're trying to do is to produce the
the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, by the flesh. And that's what we're trying to do.
And we become to where we're just aggravated, we're mad, we get frustrated with everything that goes on, anything we disagree with, we've got problems with it, we sow discord, we talk about it, and what ends up happening is we destroy not just ourselves, people around us, and it becomes a headache.
Now that's what happens. And you say, why is that happening? Because we're not abstaining from fleshly lust. And you say, now hold on, brother, I ain't never committed adultery. Now see, that's the problem. See, that right there is the problem. When we talk about fleshly lusts, automatically in our mind, we start thinking about fornication, adultery, pornography, the lust of the flesh.
You know, what you need to do is go back to Galatians chapter 5 and see what the works of the flesh are. It ain't just those things. Those are part of it, but it's not just those things.
Now, what I'm getting to is this right here. You've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not, you're hurting yourself and you're hurting your family. And we can all look back and think of a time when we were excited about the things of God. We were excited about what we were doing. We were wanting to do something for God. And if you look back and see those times, I'll guarantee you what was happening. You were praying, you were confessing sin, you were staying close to God. That's the key right there. You say, why is that the key? Because what that does right there, those three things, when you begin to confess your sin and you begin to pray and you begin to read your Bible, you know what you begin to do? You begin to become filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what happens? You want to go to church. And you want to support the preacher. You want to support the meetings. You want to raise your kids in a God. And not just want to raise your kids. You begin to raise your kids the way they're supposed to be raised. You begin to treat your husband the way you're supposed to treat your husband. You begin to treat your wife. You begin to have grace. You begin to have mercy on people. You know what? They quit saying, boy, Dad, man, what's happened to Dad? He's so hateful and gripey. And man, you just can't say nothing anymore. Or you say, Mom, man, what's gotten into Mom? She's so hateful anymore. Why does she just, first time I do anything, boy, she's just down my throat yelling and screaming. I'll tell you what's wrong with Mom and Dad. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And the works of the flesh are manifest. And that hatred and that variance and all those things that go on begin to manifest themselves. And you know what begins to happen? The harmony that's in the home. There is no harmony anymore. And a man can't be happy. He's not content. He's not happy. He's not content with his wife because he's not filled with the Holy Spirit. He's not content with the church that he's going to because he's not filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't be happy and content without being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the problem is we're not abstaining from fleshly lust. Now, look over at get Galatians chapter 5. Get Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, look in verse 16. Galatians 5:16, he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Which is exactly what Peter was telling you not to do. He said, I'll tell you how to do it, just walk in the Spirit. It's simple. That's what Paul's saying here in Galatians. And he says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. You say, what is that? It's a war. That's a war that's going on. These things are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, the things that I do, the things that I would, I do not. But the things that I would not, that's what I do. And you know what you're saying? You're saying this, Paul, you need to walk in the Spirit. That's what you're saying. That's what Paul's saying. And he says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now you look, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Okay, and I'll give you that, okay? Now, you may not be doing those things. You may not be committing adultery. You may not be having the problem with fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. But look in verse 20. Galatians 5:20. The Bible says, here's what he says. This is the works of the flesh. Idolatry. Idolatry. And automatically, we know what a guy's going to say. Brother, you ain't going to find no idols in my home. I don't go out and bow down to no temple. I'm not bowing down out there. If I do feel like I need to be religious, brother, I'm going to get the Bible out and read the Bible. But when you talk about idolatry, look at Colossians. Get Colossians. It's over to your right a little bit. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 5. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence,
and covetousness. Look what he says. And covetousness, which is what?
Idolatry.
Covetousness is idolatry. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, he says the works of the flesh is this, covetousness. He said, brother, you got to look at my home. I don't have no problems with covetousness. You can covet a whole lot more things than just the things of this world. And we do covet a whole lot more things. There's people that could care less whether they've got a pull behind a 4x8 trailer they're living in up in the mountains with a generator, and could care less whether they've got a brand new Lexus or 3-car garage or a blacktop driveway or a swimming pool, could care less what they got to live in. But at the same time, live up in the middle of the woods and not be around civilization because they don't get the recognition they're supposed to have. No, they're not coveting the worldly things, but they're coveting recognition. You got people who leave a church because they're not getting the recognition they deserve. You say, what are they coveting? They're coveting recognition. Or you know what? You get people that'll leave church because they don't get the attention they're supposed to have. You get a man and a wife, they want to split up and get divorced because the wife don't think she's getting enough attention. You get a guy, he's wanting to leave the job that he works on because I ain't getting the recognition I deserve out here. You just don't know how hard I work. You say, what is that's called? Idolatry is what that's called. It's covetousness. And what happens is a guy, you know what you can do? You can covet things. You can covet a blacktop driveway or a brand new Lexus or a swimming pool or a two-story house with a basement under, whatever it is you're looking at, the things that you want. You know, it may be a body that you're coveting. You may want to look a certain way. It may be a look that somebody has. It may be a clothes that somebody's wearing. It may be a job somebody's got. I don't know what it is that you're coveting. But you can covet things. You can covet attention. You can covet recognition. And you know what happens? God says it's idolatry. And you know what he says? He said that's lusting after the flesh. That's fleshly lust. You know what Peter says? He says it'll kill you. He says it's going to war against your soul. And he says, I beg you, don't covet. Don't get in the middle of covetousness. He said, war's against your soul. He says, it wars against your soul. Now get Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Now, if you want to be excited about the things of God, really excited, not just because you know you're supposed to, if you want to delight in God and be excited about the things of God, now you can say you are all day long. That's why I was saying a while ago, we can all say, hey man, I'm lucky to be saved, thank God. Or you can really think you're lucky to be saved. Now you're saved either way, but your attitude toward that depends on something. And if you want to delight in the things of God, if you want to be delighting about the things of God, there's something you've got to do. And it comes from the inside. It don't come from the outside. It's not something you sit here and say, well, the Bible says I'm supposed to be happy and I'm supposed to be content, so I'm going to be content. That ain't the way it works. Look in verse 22, Romans 7:22. He says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Hold your place there. Look at Ephesians. Look at Ephesians. You want to know what to pray for somebody? Look at Ephesians 3. When it comes to strength in the Christian life, and you've got to have the strength to be able to do right, to make the right decisions, to live the right way, you know what you got to do? You got to get that strength from the inside. In 7:22 right there, he says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now look in Ephesians 3. Paul's praying. Look what he says. Verse 14, Ephesians 3:14, he says, for this cause, we'll look in verse 13. He says, wherefore I desire that ye, talking about the church at Ephesus, that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, talking about praying, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And you see that strength that you come to do right. It's not just, you know, man, some guys have got it and some guys ain't got it. It ain't just, well, he's lucky, he loves God. It ain't that way. Boy, he's just got a lot of strength. He can just stand up to temptations. That guy right there, it ain't because of that. We're all flesh. It's not an accident. It's not just because somebody's lucky and the other person, he's just his lot in life. That's just his gift. That ain't what it is. Everybody has the same opportunity
to live a strength, to live a life that's got strength and have the delight of the law of God. Look back in Romans chapter 7. Here's what Paul says. He says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And you know what Paul recognizes right there? He says, it ain't just this right here. He said, I wish things was all fun and games. He said, but that ain't the way it is. He says, I see another law. He says, I see something else going on right here. He says, and it's warring against the law of my mind. And that's what I'm telling you. That's where the battle's at. It's in the mind. And he says, and bringing me into captivity. You know what some of you here, you're in bondage to covetousness. You can't stand it if somebody don't recognize you if you do something right. It eats you alive. You can't stand it if you don't get the attention you want. You can't be happy for somebody else if they get a raise on their job and they say, hey, I'm going to be able to get me a swimming pool now that I've been praying for. Yeah, I'm sure God's all over that. And you know what you're mad about? Because you didn't get the raise and you're not getting a swimming pool. That's why a guy becomes spiritual all of a sudden and gets frustrated with somebody else because of what they have. It's because it's called covetousness, which is called idolatry. Now, I'm going to tell you something this morning. I'm going to tell you something that will help you right here. Because what will happen is that thing will war against your flesh, and you'll be mad at somebody. They don't even know you're mad at them. You don't even have a dispute with them. But I'll tell you who does know you're mad at them. Everybody in your home. And you ain't happy, and it's causing problems at your dinner table. It's causing problems with the relationship between you and your kids because you got problems with somebody else, and they're living their life and going on and having just living great. You say, well, it's like I'm in bondage. You are in bondage. That's what he said. It brings you into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am. You know what that reminds me of? Brother Dilmer said one time, he said, I said, what we're going to sing tonight? He said, dirty me, I'm disgusted with myself. I don't know where he got that from. It may be somebody else. It may not be original to him. That's what Paul's saying right here. Dirty me, I'm disgusted with myself. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? See, it's death. Now look in verse 25. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He sees the difference. He says, I've got to fix my mind. I've got to get this thing fixed. And look what the blessings is. Look at chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. Hold on. Hold on, Hoss. This ain't talking about salvation. This is talking about walking in the Spirit. There's more to this verse. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. He said, I can do this thing. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Why? Look at verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When? Right now. That can be fulfilled in you right now. You say, how? Here's the point. Here's what he said. It said it can be fulfilled in you. It didn't say fulfilled by you. It's fulfilled in you. In other words, Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both the will and the do of His good pleasure. We have got to get away from thinking we can make this thing work. We can do all these things. The flesh ain't going to do it. Peter says, please, abstain from fleshly lusts. Look what it goes on to say. He says that the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded, that's talking about the flesh, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When? Ain't nothing changed. He's talking about chapter 7. He's getting into chapter 8. He's talking about a peaceful life right now. Life, abundant life right now. This ain't the life Joel Osteen's talking about where you get everything in life. This is talking about being content with the way you live. Look, hold your place. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. He told me carnally minded is death. You say, well, I ain't going to die, brother. I'm sitting right here. I'm backslid as a dog. And look at me. I'm talking, living, breathing, brother. That ain't what he's talking about. Get 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, Look down in verse 5. It says, "Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day." Look at verse 6. Now remember what we was talking about before. The flesh, you know what you do with the flesh? It can be pleased. And it can be pleasing to you. It ain't going to be satisfying, but it can be pleasing to you. There's pleasure in sin for a season. It's about being pleased. Look what he says. Verse 6. "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth."
Right.
She's alive. She's sitting there living, breathing, talking, walking, being pleased. She's dead. She's dead. And you think about Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. I mean, I know that's great. That's a great verse on getting saved, but that guy's already his son. He's already his son. He's already saved. You say, what happened to him? He was alive. You know what that chapter says? He says, "My son, who was dead, is now alive." He didn't know where he was at. He was gone. He was dead. You know what goes on with us when we're not filled with the Holy Spirit? We're dead. We are dead. It's death. For to be carnally minded is death. Look back at Romans chapter 7 or Romans chapter 8. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to" what? "The law of God." Now remember back over in chapter 7 what he said? He says, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Over here he says, "The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh," if you're living in the flesh, you're not even pleasing God.
Right.
You're not even pleasing God. I don't care. I don't care what you're doing for God. If you're backslid, you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, and you're trying to perform the works of God in the flesh, you are not pleasing God. He is not a bit happy with you. He's not a bit happy with me. It does not matter what I do. I don't care if I get my kids up at 5 o'clock in the morning and say, "Bless God, this is what we're going to do because the Bible said so." If I'm backslid, I don't have the Spirit of God in me. I'm not living in God. I am not pleasing God. Do you know what he's saying? You know what you're doing, Brother Jack? You're trying to do it on your own. You're trying to... He said, "It's not by you. It's fulfilled in you. It is God which worketh in you." You say, "Well, I'm saved, brother. I got God in me." No, he's talking about dwelling in you, controlling you, controlling your mind, controlling your thoughts. That's the way it is. He says, "So then they," look at that, "so then they that are in the flesh cannot please." You can't please God. I don't care what you say. You're not pleasing God by what you're doing. I don't care what you're doing. "Well, I just don't let my kids watch crazy movies like this right here." Well, all good. Great. I'm glad you're not.
Amen.
But are you filled with the Spirit?
Amen.
Or are you filled with covetousness or idolatry? Or are you filled with envy or indignation or hatred? What are you filled with? And God says, "I ain't pleased. I'm not pleased with what you're doing. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you knock on 500 doors a week. If you're backslid, you know what God says? You're doing it on your own." God's sitting there giving you a golf clap. Wow, you're really hammering down. Really doing a good job. It don't matter what we're doing.
Right.
Folks, the point is this right here. If we're not filled with the Spirit, we're not pleasing God. And if you're not filled with the Spirit, you know what the devil's doing? He's warring against your mind and against your soul, and he's going to bring you down. And not just you, he's going to bring your family down. And everybody around you is going to be miserable. If your family right now, if you think about your family, and you think, you know what? Our family's a mess, and we are miserable all the time. I got brand new news for you. You know, it happens, you know. You go through trials and temptations and a problem occurs every now and then. But if 90% of the time it's chaos and everybody's miserable around your home, you need to get right with God. You're destroying your family. I need to get right with God. I'm destroying my family. It's about getting right with God and getting close to God. You cannot please God if you're in the flesh. Now, go back over to Galatians chapter 5. Get Romans chapter 1 with that. You know, I was talking about those kids. I said, and I was thinking, man, this ain't going to happen, and this ain't going to happen. And I was getting frustrated, you know, and get frustrated with what's not happening, what's not going on. And that's the thing. Do you want the youth to get on fire? You want your kids to get on fire for God? Get them filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You want to be on fire for God? Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Does Brother Jack want to preach with power? Get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the key. And I don't know why we forget it. I don't know why it goes on. But Peter, it meant so much that Peter sat there and said, I'm begging you. You say, why would he sit there and beg you? Because he knows you get one man on fire for God and he can turn the world upside down. You say, how does he know that? Because he's seen it happen. He's seen it happen. Paul gets up there on Mars Hill and it says his spirit was stirred inside of him. He didn't get up there and say, well, bless God, we're supposed to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And I think I'm going to stand up and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. It wasn't like that. You say, what did he do? He got up there and he said, I got looking around. I was waiting on my buddies to show up. And I look around and these jerks are sitting here and they got an altar to the unknown God. And he's sitting there and he's looking at that thing, boy. And that spirit gets stirred inside him. And it's like Jeremiah over there and it's a fire shut up in his bones. Jeremiah said, I looked around and I saw this going on. And I saw this going on. He said, and I was worthy with, or I was tired of forbearing. You say, what was it? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the difference. You know what we can do? We can do anything in the flesh. We can read our Bible in the flesh. We can pray in the flesh. We can come to church in the flesh. We can try to teach our kids memory verses in the flesh. We can try to teach them a new gospel song. We can try to keep them out of trouble in the flesh. We can try to do all of it in the flesh. But boy, I'll tell you what, you get a big dose of Holy Spirit inside you. And I ain't talking about speaking in tongues, folks. I'm talking about you get a Holy Spirit inside you. It's untelling what you'll do for God. Well, man, you'll change your life. You'll change your habits. You'll look at things a different way. The world won't be as inviting to you. It won't be as tasty to you. You'll sit down and you'll say, you know what? I'm sick to death of this right here. I'm sick to death of this thing having a hold on me. And you get a hold of the Holy Spirit, and it'll make a change in your life. And the Bible says over there in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You know why he's a new creature? Because he's got the Holy Spirit in him. You want to see a guy that gets on fire for God after he gets saved and gets the Holy Spirit in him? What changed that man? It's the Holy Spirit. It's God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 29, he's talking about these queers. Romans 1:29 here. And God turning them over. And look in verse 29. Look what it says. Being filled. Talking about what you can be filled with. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters. You can be full of that. Haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. But folks, you get going in all that stuff right there. And you say, brother, I ain't got to worry about adultery. We ain't talking about adultery and fornication. Go back to Galatians chapter 5. If you've got problems and you can't get along with people, problem is you ain't filled with the Holy Spirit. If I can't get along with people and I'm hateful and aggravated and stuff like that, the problem is I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5 there, it says witchcraft. You say, what's witchcraft? In 1 Samuel 15:23, the Bible says, you know what witchcraft is? It's rebellion. Rebellion. Witchcraft is as the sin of rebellion. And you start talking about rebellion. Get Ephesians chapter 6. What we're talking about is the lust of the flesh. Rebellion is the lust of the flesh. You have a hard trouble submitting? You having trouble submitting to things? You know what we get in America? We get this pride that we're not supposed to submit to nobody. Right. Somebody does us wrong, bless God. I seen a guy this week, I mean, absolutely get smoked by a boss in front of other people. Told he can hit the road if he didn't like it. In front of a bunch of other people. And this ain't just a little worker. This is a guy up, right in front of everybody. I'm sitting there, boy, and what I'm thinking in my head is, if that was me, you know how we do. You know what the guy did? He didn't say a word. He got blessed out. You say, by who? His boss. Everything inside me, I wanted for him. I wanted to get up and say, man, won't you shut your mouth? That's what I wanted to do. That's inside of us. You say, what is it? It's called pride. Why shouldn't he? My wife, Sister Beth. Well, you know when you're in the mood of preaching. Beth went down to Joyce's shower. She come back and I said, well, how'd it go? You know, trying to act like I'm interested. Hey, babe. Trying to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hey, honey. How did the shower go? But anyway, she is talking about Sister Joyce and talking about what she'd went through. And she said the reason she could go through it is because she seen Brother Tim Wilson's wife. I believe her name's Karen. Is that right? Karen. So when she had cancer and was going through that, her son had cancer at the same time. And she said she went to listen to her talk one time. And she said that Sister Karen said, she didn't say, why me? She said, why not me? Why shouldn't I have cancer? Why not me? And Joyce said when she's going through her problems, she said, I thought about that. And I thought, why not me? You know, still, what we all say, well, why me? Why did I do? Why have I got to go through this? Why? She said, why not me? You said, what is that? That's called the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
You can't fake that stuff. You can't fake that. You can't feel that way going through something like that. You can't fake it. The flesh is going to show up. And you get in a situation where you're under somebody and they start running their mouth on you. You think, well, why me? Why should I have to sit? Well, why not you? Why shouldn't you have to sit there and look like a jackass and have somebody yell and scream at you and you just have to sit there? Why not you? Who are you? Who am I? Why shouldn't I have to take something like that? That ain't what the world tells us, is it? That's why Peter says, abstain. Abstain from fleshly lust. Abstain from rebellion. That's what he says. Get rid of that rebellion out of your heart. In 1 Samuel 50, look over and get Genesis chapter 3. Keep your place over here in Romans. Get Genesis chapter 3. I'll read a verse to you. This verse right here goes against everything this world teaches. America teaches anyway. The world, not the world. There's places they got it down. They really got it down. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, he says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. And look at the end of that verse. And he shall rule over thee. Rule. You know what your husband is? He's your ruler. He's your ruler. I'm best ruler. And that don't mean measuring stick. It means I get to tell her what to do. Boy, that goes against the grain, don't it? If we're in the house and we say, we got an extra $50, what are we going to do with it? She says, well, I'd like to just, I'm the ruler. That's what we're going to do. And you say, that's a bad attitude. I know it's a bad attitude, but you know what? It's the truth. I'm the ruler. Now, that's good for me. But you ladies, don't that go against your grain? Don't you just want to say, now, Brother Jack, I just don't. You just can't take the Bible. Hey, he says I'm a ruler. Look back over at, get Ephesians chapter 5. Oh, I love the Bible. That's good preaching, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
Amen, that's good preaching. That's the Bible. You know if you got a problem with that? You know what you got a problem with? You got a problem with the book.
Yes, sir.
I don't care what you say about the King James Bible and all this other stuff. You don't believe the Bible. You don't believe the King James Bible. Maybe you need an NIV.
Yeah.
What's that TV show with all them big mouth women on it? Some show. The Crew. The what? The View. The View. The View. All those big mouth women. You know what they want to do? That's what they need. They need the New International View Bible. That way they can change that verse right there. They need somebody to tell them that. That's their problem. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 22. King James Bible, 1611. Archaic English. Verse 22. Wives. Wives. That's you ladies. That's married. That's the Greek. What the Greek means right there is that that's the woman in the marriage. Submit yourselves. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You know what your problem is? You don't want to always submit. It don't bother you a bit to submit when he's in agreement with you. It's easy to do then. Look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 18. It used to be a song said once, twice, three times a lady or something like that. It's the third time, ladies. Wives, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. You want to cause some problems in your house?
You better abstain from rebellion. Abstain. Now, I'm joking and going through all that stuff, and I understand, you know, your husband tells you to go out and kill somebody. I mean, you know, I understand there's limits. But if your first thought is this right here, well, now, brother, there's limits. You're already off track. The attitude of that verse is what do I need to do to get right? You know, you can use discernment. But if the first thing you're thinking about is, we'll get away from it. It's called the spirit of rebellion. It's called fleshly lusts. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 6. I told you to go there a while ago. We didn't read nothing. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know what children need to do? They've got a ruler over them. They don't need rebellion. They need to obey. They need to obey you. They need to obey you. Last night, Caitlin, we were at Donald's and we were getting ready to leave. And Beth said, Caitlin, go back in the house. And she said, Mommy, what are you getting ready to do? I said, Caitlin. She said to go back in the house. I didn't let her answer the question. She wanted to wait and ask the question. I said, no, you obey right now. Obey right away. You teach them to obey. They're not sitting there in rebellion and just any type of rebellion, just a little rebellion. You got to get out of them. They got to understand what obeying is. What obeying is. That's children. Look over at get 1 Peter chapter 2 and Hebrews 13. First Peter chapter 2, which is where we're at. We're almost down this verse. I'm just going to read it here in verse 13. Talking about men. We're just not talking about men, talking about everybody, but that includes us, men. Here's what he says. Verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Now flip that over. Look down in verse 17. He says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Honor the king is what Peter's saying. You know who the king was when he's sitting there saying honor the king? Nero, one of the worst rulers that ever lived. Used Christians for torches to light his gardens. You know what Peter says? Honor him. Honor the king. You just don't know what he's doing. Oh yeah, I know what he did. He put people up on poles, put tar on top of them, and set them on fire for lights. He didn't worry about electricity. He just used Christians. He put them in lions' dens. What did Peter say about him? Honor that king. He said, submit as men. You know what we do? We're supposed to submit. Look at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, look at verse 7. Hebrews 13, 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So you see there? Who's your ruler? Who's your ruler? According to that verse. Preaching the word of God to you. You say, oh, brother, you just... Yeah, I know. Come on, ladies, it's your chance. Yeah, Brother Jack. Who you got to submit to? That's my ruler right there. Amen. If you don't believe that, guess what? You don't believe AV 1611 King James Bible. You just don't believe the book. You want to believe the book when it makes you happy. Makes you do the... Well, I can agree with my pastor as long as we're going down the... What's that got to do with anything? Peter said, honor the king. Look at verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. You know, in some countries, that's not even funny. They read a verse like that right there, and that's just normal. They've been taught that growing up. We ain't. That's why in America, you read a verse like that, and you think, that surely can't. All of a sudden, we got a problem with Paul being the author of Hebrews all of a sudden. Well, we've been bragging on Paul. Oh, we know who wrote the book of Hebrews. It's the Apostle Paul. You can tell by this. But I don't think he wrote that verse right there. Look over at James chapter 4. I left this one for last because it deals with pride, which is what we're all feeling right now. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Look at verse 5.
Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? I don't. I know it. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Book of verse 7. You know what you need to submit yourself to? You need to submit yourself to God. Men, women, and children, all of us. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. In other words, you know what he's saying? You just need to get right with God. Get off the pride. Get off with all this stuff. God's got this thing set up the way it goes. And we need to get rid of that idolatry. We need to get rid of the witchcraft that talks about hatred. You know what hatred does? Hatred causes strife, according to Proverbs. Last, I'm going to read this. Proverbs 15:17. Go to Proverbs. This fleshly lust right here in Galatians 5. You go to Proverbs chapter 15. One of the works of the flesh is hatred. He says idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. In Proverbs chapter 15, I'll show you what hatred causes in your life. It's what I was saying a while ago about messing up your whole family. Look at verse 15. Look at verse, or not verse 15. Proverbs 15, look at verse 17. Look what he says. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. You know what he's saying? It's better for you to be a vegetarian and have some love than for you to be eating steak and just have a bunch of problems going on in your life. And you know what hatred does for you? It messes up your family. It messes up that family. It messes up to where when you're sitting there with your family, you can't even sit down to a dinner without dad getting mad about something, or mom getting hateful, or the kids being aggravated, and all that hatred and strife inside your families, because you know what? You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll read that verse just one more time to get it to sink in. People say, what's the problem with the Christians today? Tell you what the problem is. We're not filled with the Holy Spirit. We're not filled with the Holy Spirit. When I say we, I mean we. God says be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Back in 1 Peter chapter 2. Now listen, here's what you want to do. In Galatians 5:22, he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Joy, peace. Think about that. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are the things. You want to know whether you're spiritual or not? Read that list. And how do you get that way? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, I beg you, as strangers and pilgrims, as Christians, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. The reason the devil's eating our lunch is because we don't even know what the battle is. Amen. You can take a break.